DW.
Dylan is an energetic, hairy, 35-pound black Labrador Schnauzer mix. He loves his winter walks in the snow, and in particular, eating it. He just can't get enough of it. So I thought, maybe I should check what's in it. Does snow have some impact on his health or ours? Traditionally, snow is seen as clean, harmless, and fun, and has even been the inspiration for songs.
Snow, snow,
snow,
snow,
snow.
It won't be long before we'll all be there with snow.
Snow, snow. I want to wash my hands, my face and hair with snow.
It's minus 14 in snow-covered Brantwood Park, though a bracing wind makes it feel more like 22 degrees Celsius below freezing. I meet with Dr. Alexandre Poulin, a professor of biology at the University of Ottawa. He's brought along his snow-loving dog, too.
Look.
They're playing snow frisbee together.
Just let go. Let go. Okay, go.
He's been researching the links between microbes, contaminants, and snow, which he says is different from rain.
The surface area is extremely high, definitely much higher than a round or drop-shaped water as it falls down in rain, and it's very, very good at collecting what's in the air. Snow transports from the sky to the ground a mixture of aerosols, soot, pesticides, toxic metals, debris that are flying around, microbes. Some are good, some are bad. Keep in mind that most microbes are good for us. They have a very important role in the environment.
And snowflakes support other life too, including microanimals, which look like a cross between a bear and a walrus with many legs.
And those tardigrades are some of the most resistant invertebrates that we know. And they're extremely happy thriving on those microbes and eating those microbes that are living in the snow.
But that's not all. Mercury occurs naturally in rocks and deep sediment. It's released into the atmosphere through human activity like mining and the burning of fossil fuels and moves around the atmosphere at low levels. Snow brings it back down to the ground. The more mercury that accumulates in lake beds and waterways, the greater the threat to our environment, the fish we eat, and our health. It bioaccumulates in organisms and it biomagnifies through the food webs. However, Poulin is finding that processes in the snow may be minimizing the impact of mercury and other contaminants on us.
And we found that it's a combination of light and microbes that are actually helping the mercury to go back to the atmosphere before the snow melts. I just want to encourage people to look at snowpacks and realizing that it's a very dynamic system.
In fact, we asked a couple passing by what they knew about snow.
I mean, it's probably the same composition as water. No?
Well, yeah.
Water, for sure. I'm a nutritionist, so I'm very cautious of what's in our water and what's in the snow. I know not to eat snow. And I think that it's probably contaminated with something that we don't know about.
Poulet was happy to give them a quick Snow 101 lesson.
So any type of, you know, contaminants that is in the atmosphere will be just stripped off of the air and deposited into the snow. So that's one.
Yeah.
And so contaminants can be organic contaminants, you know, pesticides, but it can also be microbes.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh.
You didn't expect that on your walk.
No.
This is so informative.
I know. Now we're going to just walk around really shocked by what's around us.
The thing about what's in every piece of snow, I see.
Yeah.
There is something mixed with snow Canadians do know about, though, and that's salt.
Well, it's a lot of salt. There's a lot. And, you know, you can see dead things along the paths where the salt obviously comes in a greater concentrated contact with it. And I, you know, I'm concerned. Obviously, it must go into the water. It's got to go into the rivers. I certainly wouldn't eat it anymore like I did when I was a kid.
It concerns me how much salt they put down. It is a lot of salt. And, you know, if it burns my dog's feet to stand on it, it can't be very good for soil and grass and the environment.
7 to 11 million tons of it are used in Canada by winter road maintenance crews to melt the snow to keep us from slipping and sliding on the roads. It keeps us and our roads safe. But how safe is it for the life in our waterways where it ultimately ends up? Robin Vallot, a biologist at Queen's University, says that these vast amounts of salt appear to be having an impact on a key part of the marine food web, zooplankton.
They eat all the algae and they feed our fish stocks, so they're an important step in that ecosystem.
Indeed, these tiny, remarkable creatures play an important role in cleaning our water.
If you have a healthy zooplankton population, they can filter every drop of water in a lake every 3 days. So that's a huge amount of filtering in these lakes.
Vallot explains how vast amounts of salt threaten zooplankton.
Salt is made up of sodium and chloride, and most of our freshwater organisms don't have the osmotic potential to deal with that increased chloride in the lakes. It's a stressful environment for them, which can increase mortality, it can reduce reproduction in these individuals, and it can be very detrimental to the population and the community as a whole.
In Canada, chloride is listed as a chemical of concern. A guideline of 120 milligrams per litre is supposed to protect 90% of life in the lakes, but zooplankton seems to still be vulnerable.
And from our work, we're seeing that they're probably being affected around 40 milligrams per litre, which is a lot lower than the 120 that we have it set at right now. There are some bigger zooplankton species in the lake that seem to be able to cope a little bit better with the increased chloride. So the smaller they are, the less food they're able to eat, the more harmful it may be to them. And these smaller zooplankton like shallower, slightly warmer water.
Vallot has worked in the Muskoka's region of Ontario, just north of Toronto. It's a popular summer holiday destination renowned for swimming, fishing, and boating. Vallot was able to compare road salt impacted lakes versus those not near highways. The lakes untouched by road salt had 1 milligram per litre of salt. The lakes impacted by road salt had over 100 times as much. While research into the impact of road salt on lakes is in its infancy, Vallot knows what happens when you don't have a healthy zooplankton population.
If we don't have our zooplankton, our fish aren't going to be big and healthy and fun to fish. It can lead to things like algal blooms, which are green masses in our lakes. So we really need this intermediate level in the food web to keep everything running smoothly through our lake. They keep our lakes clean and clear and healthy.
But this poses a dilemma. How to keep Canadians safe on snowy roads in winter while minimizing the impact on marine life? Well, how about looking at natural alternatives to salt? Consider a future where melted snow is beet-colored and smells like pickle juice.
Things like alternatives like beet juice and pickle juice and all of those sort of weird things that are in the news these days can be really beneficial at a small scale. But I think it's important when we're adding new things to the environment to think about what these new additives might, the effects might be. I know the pickle and the beet brine has some carbohydrates in it. And what effect is that going to have on our waterways? We don't know yet.
In other words, more research is needed. In the meantime, Dylan still has plenty of snow to munch on, even if it's not that good for him. Shan Griffiths, DW, Ottawa.
DW.